Grace and peace to you on this Sabbath morning. It is good to see each and every one of you. Good to be with you. If I don't know you, my name is Paul Baker, and I have the humble privilege of preaching here at College Church throughout the summer, renewing acquaintances with friends I worked with for many, many years before seminary I worked at the college, and it's good to be back on campus every single week. We gather this day on a day in which our world is ever-changing, and we are reminded of man's inhumanity to man, and we pray for God's presence as we struggle with the ways in which we have been divided, especially Abraham's sons and daughters have been divided. But this morning we also begin a new sermon series where we endeavor to draw lessons from the encounters of Jesus with women of the New Testament. And we begin today with his interactions with the Canaanite woman. So I would invite you to refer to your Bibles in Matthew 15, beginning with the 21st chapter. Hear again the word of the Lord. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away. She keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Let us pray. Lord, on this day in which we sometimes wonder about developments in our world and strive to see, discern where your hand is in among all the happenings in our world, we pray that your living word will again speak to us, enable us to understand what our role as your disciples should be this day and every day. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I am looking for a few good its. That's IT plural. Several of those. I am looking for a few good its. That's how the keynote speaker at a conference I attended many years ago began his speech. And I'm going to guess that you have a pretty good idea about the subject of his talk. Let me put it to you this way. Have you ever had one of those days? You know, the kind of day when the clock nears the conclusion of your time doing whatever it is that you're doing, and the thought crosses your mind, "I have had," and you know the end of that sentence, "it, I've had it, get me out of here, let me get away to another place where sanity seems familiar with reality." We have those days, do we not? Or at least I do. And the keynoter at that conference long ago urged us to look for another kind of it. Well, in our passage from the Gospel according to Matthew, I think it's fair to say that Jesus has had it. He's had one of those days. If ever you have doubted the true humanity of Jesus, the 15th chapter of Matthew should allay any such uncertainty. You see, Jesus has been busy. He's just fed a multitude from an offering of 5 loaves and 2 fish. He's taught the crowds about the nature of belief. And in fatigue, he's endeavored to steal away for some time alone in prayer. But he can't do it. He finds his disciples in trouble, literally in troubled water and in danger of sinking. And so Jesus walks out on the water to save them, there encountering the irrepressible Peter, who first gets out of the boat and walks toward Jesus on the water, then begins to doubt, and he begins to sink. Of course, Jesus rescues Peter, then travels with the disciples to Gennesaret, where we read that the scribes and the Pharisees strike up an argument with Jesus. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elderly? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. Now, Jesus, of course, is a Jew, recognized as a rabbi, a teacher, one thoroughly acquainted with the law of Moses. And the scribes and the Pharisees, well, they too are Jewish, scholars of the law, the very people who should acknowledge Jesus as one of their own. But they do not. Perhaps they're threatened by how well this man of Galilee, the son of a carpenter, a commoner, if you will, perhaps they're threatened by how well Jesus seems to understand Mosaic law. Perhaps they're intimidated by the size of the crowds that follow him. The evangelist doesn't tell us why the Pharisees and scribes seek conflict with Jesus at this stage in his ministry, but here it is. Jesus finds himself with those who know the Torah and the teachings of the prophets, and the scribes and the Pharisees, of all people, ought to align with Jesus and recognize him for who he really is, the promised Messiah. Instead, they seek to undermine his authority, to call into question the actions of those who follow Jesus. And Jesus, well, Jesus will have none of it. Responding to that is these scholars of the law who lead people astray, teaching them to take what is due their parents and give it instead to the synagogue, thereby betraying the commandment to honor mother and father. So Jesus responds, and can you not hear the anger in his words? You hypocrites! Isaiah prophesied rightly about you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. Jesus has had it. And so this truly human Jesus goes away from all that is driving him nuts. He travels to the very edge of Israel, to the region of Sidon and Tyre. So let me ask, does anyone here like to go to the beach for vacation? Anybody? Oh, there's got to be more than just a few. Like to go to the beach? Well, that essentially is what Jesus is doing here. You see, Sidon and Tyre are found on the Mediterranean coast, and this is the territory of the Phoenicians. Jesus is getting away from the centers of power in Israel, and in fact, he's stealing away from his own people. It's time for recreation, rejuvenation, restoration. It's time for a break. And it's not to be. You see, Jesus has gotten away from all the people who should recognize him for who he is, even though they don't. And then we read, just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting. Have you been there? You've traveled far away from all your cares and challenges of your daily existence, and as soon as you arrive at the location of your escape, someone calls your name. Has that ever happened to you? Well, guess what? Jesus traveled that road long before we did. Here he is walking along the seashore, and this woman begins shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." So what's going on here? Our text tells us that this is a Canaanite woman. And remember, the Canaanites are the ancient enemies of Israel. Theirs is the very land flowing with milk and honey that the Hebrew people have occupied and claimed as their very own. Of all people, the Canaanites do not acknowledge the God of Israel as their God. And yet the Gospel of Matthew says that this Canaanite woman is shouting at Jesus And she acknowledges Jesus as none other than her Lord and her Master. The scribes and the Pharisees pointedly deny that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Yet here this woman, this foreigner, this person from a people historically aligned against Israel, shouts out that Jesus not only is the rightful successor to the throne of Israel, Jesus is her Lord and Master. This is an amazing interaction that becomes yet more so. I don't know about you, but I will confess that I don't always respond enthusiastically when I run into someone who knows me at a time when I'm trying to get away from it all. It's not the best side of me, but there have been times when I simply want to act as if I do not hear or see that person. I want to get away. That's the fallen side of my humanity in stark relief. And we know that Jesus, albeit human, never sinned. Even so, I am struck by his response to the Canaanite woman. Our text tells us he did not answer her at all. Jesus, this man who has worked himself to the point of exhaustion, who is trying to get away from it all, this truly human man who has had it, ignores the shouting of the Canaanite woman. Yet she will not go away. Instead, she rushes to get ahead of where Jesus is walking, and then she kneels down in front of him and she pleads, "Lord, help me." Friends, we hear this story from a vantage over 2,000 years removed. We know who Jesus is. We know what Jesus is like. Jesus is none other than the only begotten Son of the one true God, a God whose reigning nature is love. And Jesus dedicates his entire life to reaching out with compassion to all those who are oppressed, who are sick, all those who suffer injustice at the hands of a fallen humanity. Jesus, in fact, gives his very life so that the sins of all humanity to this very day are forgiven. This is the Jesus we know. And yet, when the Canaanite woman bows down in humble, worshiping posture and begs on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter, we hear Jesus say, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The Canaanite woman is nothing but a dog. These are the words of Jesus. Isn't that stunning? It is to me. It's a proclamation that has sent theologians scrambling in an endeavor to explain it all away. You see, the Greek word translated here as dog is the word used for house pets, not the wild dogs running around in the country. So this really is not so awful a statement by Jesus, or so some have argued. But friends, the reality is that calling someone a dog was as bad in first century Israel as it is to this very day. Jesus calls this woman who is descended from the ancient enemies of Israel a dog. There's no getting around it. It's an insult. I dare say we encounter Jesus here at one of his most human moments ever. This exhausted and frustrated man just does not need someone asking for yet another expenditure of his energy, especially not a woman. And not just a woman, but a Canaanite woman. This, after all, is the first century, and women have virtually no status apart from their father or their husband. But this woman, this Gentile woman, will not let it be. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table." Friends, let me propose to you that no more poignant words have ever been spoken on my behalf and on your behalf. Even dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. We have to understand, Jesus has said that he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And what's happened? The lost sheep of the house of Israel the scribes and the Pharisees, and ultimately all those who gather for the festival in Jerusalem, all those people reject Jesus. He's not the promised Messiah. He's not the son of David, even though he has fed thousands from 5 loaves and 2 fish. The feast, well, it's forgotten. Even so, this foreign woman, this Gentile woman, asserts that she is worthy of feeding on the crumbs that are left over by the one whom she describes as her Lord and Master. And so, as a result, the reach of the ministry of Jesus extends to you and even to me. All thanks to this extraordinary woman who calls out to Jesus at one of his most vulnerable human moments. And in so doing, this Canaanite woman manifests a faith whose foundation is found among the very Hebrew people who would look upon her as a daughter. Hear these words from Psalm 22. Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. The Canaanite woman's plea to Jesus, a plea in the face of seeming rejection, is rooted in the Hebrew tradition found in this psalm and throughout the book of Lamentations. You see, friends, a faith that persists is a faith that will earn reward. Hear these words of Jesus to the Canaanite woman. Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter is healed at that very moment. Sisters and brothers, we do well to reflect on the woman from the region of Sidon and Tyre. The gospel, according to Mark, says that she is a Greek woman of Syro-Phoenician ancestry. Matthew pointedly describes her as a Canaanite woman. Either way, she is outside the Jewish tradition. She's a Gentile, and not only that, she's one who, by virtually all the customs of the day, is unworthy or worthy of being ignored, shoved aside, deemed absolutely unworthy. And yet, here we are today, Gentiles grafted on through the root of Israel in no small measure because a woman so long ago saw Jesus on the shoreline of the Mediterranean Sea, and she claimed him as her Lord and Master. So great was her faith, even in the face of rejection, that we too can follow in her footsteps. So today, I would invite you to follow the Canaanite woman. You see, she shows us the way. In fact, she shows us how to find that better it. And the way is oh so simple and yet daunting in its call to humility. Throughout our lives, in particular at those moments when we have had it, we, like that woman so long ago, ought to kneel before our Master and offer her simple prayer. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And at this difficult time of history, Lord, help us. Praying in full confidence that the Lord and Master of the Canaanite woman will answer our prayers as well. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let us continue our worship with the singing of hymn number 383, My Faith Looks Up to Thee.